I didn't know quite how Jean was going to finish talking about what she was talking about, and obviously Wales came into it at the end of what she said. I just wanted to say that was my heritage in Welsh and Wales, and probably church as well, with organs and choirs and stuff like that. So it is relevant to me. It's also that hymn says, I need thee every hour. It's a well-known hymn in English as well. But it was amazing how God has moved us on from meeting in a church choir and meeting in quite a strong religious background in some ways that I had, and taken us on a different sort of journey. And I just want to share literally a few thoughts with you about journey and what that means, what it's meant for us, yes, but also what it means for all of us. Well, so I was asked if I would speak on journeying and what that meant to me and for us. And someone said earlier on, you know, that you've been doing this for years, and it's great to have someone with so much experience of journeying with God and so on. First thing I want to say is that unless God's speaking to me, to you, on a daily basis, you're not really journeying with him. You might have journeyed, but you're not journeying, because the very word journeying comes from sort of French and Latin and stuff, and it's to do with every day. It's to do with being together. It's to do with companionship. So I started looking up words, as I do, and because I'm sure that's what journey means, that's where it comes from. And I discovered that I knew the expression a journeyman as well. That just usually means someone who's, you know, does their job well, does it quietly, just gets on with it. And I discovered that in Germany, the journeyman was in fact somebody who was not a master tradesman, but a fully qualified one nevertheless, who used to work and get paid by the day. But in France, where they had a similar sort of thing, they actually called them companions. And I know, I just love things like that, because that will be with me forever now, that journeying is all about day by day with Jesus, and it's all about companionship. And that seems to me to be a vital thing that we've learned, and that all of us need to learn as we journey with Jesus. Jean talked about whether it means travelling physically from place to place. Obviously, it does in some contexts, but not always. Spending time day by day doesn't mean leaving your community necessarily. Back in the day, Moses led the people of Israel out of Egypt through the Red Sea. Fantastic miracles following them everywhere. Nobody was ill, nobody was sick when they left. And after 40 years of effectively going round in circles, you might ask whether they journeyed with God or whether they'd actually gone nowhere. And part of that time was them God wanting them to understand him. It didn't completely work out that way. In fact, in one of the Psalms, I think it's 95, it says, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, there are people with hard hearts who have not known my ways. And I think it's rather sad that after 40 years of spending time with God and having very little else to do apart from spend time with God, to be fair, in the desert, they still hadn't completely got it. Joshua, who was part of that group, led the people back through another miraculous dry patch. This time it's the River Jordan in full flood. And sometime later, is faced with the prospect of Jericho, the strongest fortified city that they'd come across, having passed the Jordan. And as he's contemplating Jericho, he's suddenly faced with this angelic appearance, this warring angel with a drawn sword. And the first thing that Joshua says is, are you for us, are you for them? And this is where the story really begins, because the angel says neither. And what I want to point out to us in the next few minutes, very few minutes, is how many times neither comes into it. And when we think it's either this, it's either got to be this or it's got to be that. And as we're walking with Jesus, we so often find him saying neither. I want you to learn something here. I want you to know something a bit more. And so Joshua says, are you for us or are you for them? And the angel says, neither. I've come as the commander of the Lord's army. Now, effectively, which side are you on? And I feel that that's something that we're going to have to really get our act together over in the coming days, months, years, because more and more and more things are happening in our society and around where we're being faced with either-ors. And it's the world that puts the either-or to us and says, right, which side are you on? Are you for gay marriage or are you against it? Are you this? Are you that? What are you going to do? Do we let the immigrants in or do we keep them out? It's all yes or no to everything. And the number of times that God's answer is, that's not the question. And I'm not going to answer that question. I'm going to have a better understanding. I'm going to have a better understanding of what God's ways are. And we find those literally by journeying. In Isaiah, there's a brilliant promise that says, and in the Message version, it talks about days of grace, and we hear much about the message of grace, the gospel of grace at the moment. And that's in Isaiah 30. It's where God says, you'll hear a voice as you're walking closely with me. You will hear a voice saying, this is the way, walk in it. Not to the left, not to the right, we're into another neither. This is the way, walk in it. It's a fantastic promise that God has made to us, that as we go through each day with him, as we walk with him, oh yeah, that's, you just go straight forward, don't you? Yeah. That wasn't the way. That's the way. So get great promise from God that we don't need to know ahead, but there will be a voice that actually helps us and guides us, saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is the question you should be asking. I just want to demonstrate that happened a number of times with Jesus' ministry. In John chapter 9, there's a story about a man who was born blind, and it's just before Jesus does the scriptural and biblical thing of spitting on the ground, making some mud and plastering it on the face of the person he's going to pray for. Not a ministry technique you see very often, but it's the way Jesus did it. But the first thing his disciples say, because of their upbringing, is, was it this man that sinned, or was it his parents that sinned? And there you are, straight away. It's the sort of question you get asked, isn't it? Why is there suffering in the world? Straight away, was it him who sinned or was it them who sinned? And the first thing Jesus says, neither. It's actually just going to allow me to demonstrate God's love, Father's love for this man. Nobody's made him blind. It's not sin that's caused this. He's just born that way. And I'm going to do something about it. So basically, it's an opportunity now. You don't have to concern yourself with questions which shouldn't have been asked. In Mark 11, Jesus takes it even further when the Pharisees say, by what authority are you doing all this teaching anyway? And he turns the tables on them and says, let me ask you a question. Was John's baptism from men or from God? And he then puts the Pharisees and the scribes in a difficult position because he's done the same to them and said, okay, there's a question for you. was it from man or was it from God? And they say, oh, we can't answer that, because if we say it's from man, they'll say, the people will have a go at us because they all say it's from God. And if we say it's from God, he'll say, why don't you pay attention to it then? So they were in trouble. And Jesus then says, neither will I tell you where my authority comes from. So often he was being put in positions where people wanted black and white. They wanted this or that. And they've already determined what the outcome ought to be. So they don't give you the space to say, actually, there's a God way of doing things. There's a God way of walking. And I've learned so much of that from journeying and discovering that when you think that there's a way forward, you think this has got to be it and this is the reason we're here. So often God has then said, actually, no, like the lollipop that got Jean's attention, that wasn't the point. I can't think how many times we have been introduced to somebody who's taken us into a particular place in France or Wales or even Africa. Actually, when I went to Africa, I was introduced to one guy who was absolutely key to the reason that we were there. And in the end, didn't turn out to be the key relationship at all. But without that thing that got you there, without that introduction that got you there, you'd never have gone. So thinking that we've got it sussed is not the thing. What is the thing is asking God, is it this way or that way? And finding the answer so often, neither. But I will tell you, I am leading you. And finally, my favourite story, which you all know, John chapter 4, the woman at the well. And yet again, here's a woman whose everyday life has been completely turned upside down merely because somebody who shouldn't be speaking to her has sat down for a drink. And when she begins to understand that this guy is a prophet, has got something important to say, she says, well, you Jews say that Jerusalem's the place to worship. And we Samaritans say this mountain is the place to worship. So which is it? And again, Jesus says, neither. Because the true worshippers will worship in spirit and in truth. And that's the sort of worshippers that the Father seeks. So that was a quick whistle stop through a number of occasions when Jesus said neither, because he is the only one who's going to teach us the right way to walk the paths of life. He is the way to the Father. And he is the one who's promised that he'll never leave us or forsake us, and that he will tell us which way to go. Shall I just pray? Father, thank you that you are so committed to our walk, our journey. And you've got things for us to do and places for us to visit. But more importantly, you've got people for us to walk with. We see you in each other's faces, in each other's lives. And you've called us to a walk together. Father, I just thank you for these people here who, you know, we're not the expert journeyers, we're all journeying together. And we need each other. And we appreciate one another. And Father, I want to pray that our walks with you will continue to get deeper and deeper, and that our ears will be more and more attuned to your voice saying, this is the way, walk in it. Amen.